Turn your tax refund into a new garage door at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Increase your home's value with a new Ideal garage door. From traditional to modern, Menards has a garage door to enhance your home's appearance. Choose from our large in-stock selection or design your own using our free garage door design program. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Turn your tax refund into a new garage door at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Increase your home's value with a new Ideal garage door. From traditional to modern, Menards has a garage door to enhance your home's appearance. Choose from our large in-stock selection or design your own using our free garage door design program. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
$600,000. That's what it cost to walk Joseph Duggar out of a Florida jail on the same day he walked in. According to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, his defense attorney told the presiding judge that Joseph's father, the big umbrella man, Jim Bob, was ready in Florida and ready to post bond. The same Jim Bob Duggar who showed up at his oldest son's, Josh's, federal proceedings. The same Jim Bob Duggar whose family has spent the better part of two decades managing, minimizing, and making ugly things disappear behind closed doors and carefully worded statements. According to court records reported by multiple outlets, Joseph had already filed a written plea of not guilty and demanded a jury trial 2 days before the hearing even took place. And according to a recorded jailhouse call reported by TMZ, his wife Kendra reportedly retained the Duggar family's longtime attorney for herself, not for Joseph. He's on his own. He's 31 years old, facing a life felony in Florida and misdemeanor charges alongside his wife in Arkansas. And the family playbook that worked for Josh is apparently not working this time, not because the family doesn't want it to, because the people inside that family are finally refusing to follow it. Oh, might there be cracks forming? Let's talk about what actually happened in that Florida courtroom on March 31st. Joseph Duggar appeared via video link from Bay County Jail in a gray striped jail attire. He'd been booked into that facility earlier that morning after being transferred from the Washington County Detention Center in Arkansas, where he'd been held since his March 18th arrest. According to the Democrat Gazette, the presiding judge read Joseph the charges he's facing. His defense attorney, Albert Solin, argued for what he called a reasonable bond, telling the court that Joseph had no prior criminal record. And according to Fox News, Solin also said his goal was to ensure Joseph was treated fairly, regardless of his background in the television industry. On the other side, the prosecution wasn't having any of it. The state pushed hard, serious charges involving a child, no connection to the Bay County community, and a legitimate flight risk. The judge was also informed that Joseph was already facing pending misdemeanor charges back in Arkansas, including endangering the welfare of a minor and false imprisonment. Bond was set at $500,000, and the M charge, or on the M charge, and $100,000 on the second charge, $600,000 total. The conditions attached to that bond are worth paying attention to. Zero contact with the accuser of any kind, including through third parties or social media. No unsupervised contact with any person under the age of 18. Joseph agreed to those terms. He declined any court-appointed attorney. His next court date has been set for April 20th. Posted bond that afternoon and, according to multiple reports, was on a plane back to Arkansas by the evening. So he's home. He's out. If you're listening to this wondering how someone facing charges as serious walks free the same day, that's the system working the way it's designed to. Bond exists so that people accused of crimes don't sit in jail indefinitely before conviction. That's a principle worth protecting, even when it's uncomfortable. What matters now is what happens next. What happens next is where this gets heavy. And I'd love to get your thoughts on this case in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work our way through it. Links are in the description. Joseph Duggar is facing charges in two states. In Florida, he's charged with lewd and lascivious M of a victim under the age of 12 and lewd and lascivious conduct by a person 18 years or older under Florida statute 800.04. That first charge, M of a child under 12 by an adult, is classified as a life felony. That's not a rhetorical label. Under Florida's criminal punishment code, it is a level 9 offense carrying a mandatory minimum sentence of 25 years in prison with the possibility of life imprisonment, no early release for good behavior, lifetime S offender probation after any prison term, lifetime offender registration. Joseph Duggar's 31. If convicted, the absolute earliest he could walk out of a Florida prison could be the age of 56. That is the floor, not the ceiling. I like that, but I'd like it more if it was more like 156. And then there's Arkansas. Both Joseph and Kendra Duggar each face 4 counts of second degree endangering the welfare of a minor and 4 counts of second degree false imprisonment. Those are misdemeanor charges, but the circumstances that produce them tell a story the felony charges don't alone capture. According to multiple reports, after Joseph was arrested on March 18th, investigators inspected the home he shares with Kendra in Taneytown. According to a source who spoke with People magazine, they found that the locks on the bedroom doors were on the exterior, the outside of the doors. Taneytown police have confirmed the Arkansas charges are separate from the Florida case, but one set of charges directly triggered the other. The felony arrest led to the home inspection, and the home inspection led to the misdemeanor charges. That's the chain of events and how we got there. Now, here's where you need to sit with something for just a moment. The Duggar family has been here before, not in a courtroom on these specific charges, but with this specific detail. After Josh Duggar's abuse of his sisters was disclosed in the early 2000s, the family acknowledged putting locks on bedroom doors in the Duggar compound to keep Josh separated from his siblings at night. That was a solution the family came to, not therapy for the victims, not removal of the offender, but hardware, locks on doors. Decades later, investigators allegedly walked into a second Duggar household and find the same thing. Locks on the outside of the doors where the children sleep. That's not a coincidence. It's a system replicating itself. It's one family's answer to the same question applied to a second generation. And it should make every person listening deeply uncomfortable with what was normalized inside those walls. If this is somehow left over from before, it doesn't make a lot of sense. People are trying to figure this out. Because to me, this is an element that, again, doesn't make a lot of sense. If it has anything to do with protecting children from an outside force, you would put those locks on the inside of the door so the children can keep the threat out, not the other way around, where you can lock the child in. Or here's a thought. Here's a wild thought. How about we just raise our children in a healthy and safe environment where we don't have to reverse locks and imprison children? I don't know. That might work. Oh, I know. Sometimes it's just the simple things. Both Joseph and Kendra have an April 29th court date in Elm Springs District Court on the Arkansas charges. That's less than 2 weeks after Joseph's April 20th court date in Bay County. Two states, two courtrooms, two entirely different levels of legal exposure, and a marriage that by every available indication is fracturing under the weight of it. Good. It's the best damn thing that can happen for that woman. Fracture. Get a divorce. Get the hell away from these people. For the sake of your children, you have one job now, miss. And that is to protect your children. And that means getting them as far away from the word Duggar as you possibly can. Kind of hard to do it, though, when you're brainwashed, in my opinion. And judging by that phone call that we heard, the jailhouse phone call, if you've listened to it, it doesn't sound like a wife that's jumping through hoops to get away from her husband. Although the mention of the attorney is an interesting finding. The Duggar family response to Josh's legal crisis was a wall. Jim Bob testified at a pretrial hearing. Anna stood by her husband through conviction and sentencing. The family closed ranks and said as little as possible. That's not what is happening to Joseph so far. According to the TMZ reported jailhouse call, Kendra told Joseph she had hired an attorney, Travis Story, reportedly the Duggar family's longtime lawyer, to represent her. The message, according to that reporting, was clear. She had counsel, and he would need to find his own. She did not return to their tiny town home after her own arrest and release on March 20th. According to multiple outlets, she left with the couple's children for an undisclosed location. In phone calls from jail, reported across multiple outlets, Joseph told Kendra he'd been spending his time reading the Bible. Children could be heard in the background on her end. She was somewhere with kids. He was alone. I'm not going to sit here and speculate for a super long time about where she is now that she's not back at the compound, but she's somewhere safe, and they couldn't talk about it on the phone. But I will say this, because this was kind of interesting. When Josh was having his problems and he had to be separated from his family, where he stayed was literally behind a Chuck E. Cheese. I'm not kidding. We found out where that was. And I did a little Google search. Where is that located? Oh my God. Now, I'm not so concerned with her being at a home behind a Chuck E. Cheese. If that's the family friend that they're at, I don't know. But there's just so much irony with every aspect and every choice this family makes. It's like, are we just going for like comical relief at some point? Because it's so absurd. It's so absurd. I have no idea where the hell she's at. And I don't care. The only concern here should be for those kids. And if they continue to be part of the Duggar system, they're fucked. They are. I'm sorry if you're watching this years later as adults. You're like, yeah, I'm sorry. A lot of people were saying this back then. There's only so much the law can do here in Arkansas, or really anywhere for that matter. Jim Bob and Michelle eventually broke their silence through a spokesperson who told Us Weekly they were heartbroken and focused on supporting Kendra and the children. Supporting Kendra and the children. Not Joseph. That's a deliberate choice of language of a family that's historically said nothing by accident. Jill Duggar Dillard and her husband, Derek, the ones who wrote Counting the Cost, the ones who walked away, said they were shocked and heartbroken, and that they strongly condemn abuse. Jessa Duggar and her husband, Ben Seawald, posted a statement calling Joseph's alleged actions deeply grievous to God. They later deleted it. Ginger Duggar said on her podcast that she doesn't think her heart could break the way it broke that week. And then there's Amy Duggar King, Jim Bob's niece, who told Fox News she was sickened, heartbroken, and deeply angry. She's the one who seems to be, in my opinion, the most grounded in the monstrous behavior of her family. And yes, some of the sisters, yes, they've broken away and they seem pretty grounded too. But this one, the niece, Amy, she's just kind of like the most blunt, straight shooter of the bunch of like, yeah, here's what's up. She said she was not surprised that another alleged predator had emerged from what she called a toxic system. Jim Bob's own sister, Deanna Duggar, went to Page Six and said Kendra should divorce Joseph, allegedly. The family is not circling the wagons, at least not all of them. It's splitting along the exact lines that the Shiny Happy People documentary traced. The divide between the people who stayed inside the system and the people who already walked away from it. The people who left are the ones speaking clearly. The people who stayed are the ones issuing statements through spokespeople. And while all this is unfolding in public, there's a procedural detail that most coverage has buried, but it shouldn't be. According to court records reported by multiple outlets, Joseph Duggar filed a written plea of not guilty on all charges 2 days before his March 31st hearing. In that same filing, he waived his arraignment and demanded a jury trial. This wasn't a man standing up in a courtroom and declaring his innocence in front of a judge, his atonement for his sins. It was a calculated legal filing prepared in advance, submitted while he was still sitting in a jail cell. That distinction matters. Consider the reported facts leading up to that filing. According to the Bay County Sheriff's Office, the victim's father confronted Joseph on March 17th about the alleged abuse, and Joseph allegedly admitted to his actions. According to the arrest affidavit, Tawnytown detectives then arranged for the father to call Joseph with the detective listening in, a controlled call, and Joseph allegedly admitted to his actions a second time. He reportedly made those same admissions to Tawnytown detectives directly. That is reportedly three separate admissions to three different audiences in a matter of hours, and then from a jail cell, through his legal team, he filed paperwork telling the state of Florida, not guilty, jury trial. Interesting. So, this stuff does happen. People do make admissions and then walk them back, especially when he didn't realize that there was a officer listening in. Now, we can't independently confirm that those things happen, but many people have reported it, so that's why we are talking about it. But okay, bring on the trial. Bring on the trial. If you didn't admit to it, and that's not on tape, what is it? That gap between the alleged admissions and the legal posture will define every stage of this case going forward. It is the gap the prosecution will drive through, the gap the defense will have to explain, and it's the gap the public is already watching. So where does this go from here? Well, Joseph Duggar, the adult that looks like the Gerber baby, is back in Arkansas. He's free on bond. But the conditions of that bond mean he cannot be alone with any person under the age of 18, any minor. That includes, by the plain language of the court's order, his own children. He has filed a written not guilty plea and waived his arraignment, but his next Florida court date remains April 20th. His Arkansas court date alongside Kendra is April 29th. The Tawnytown Police Department has stated that the Arkansas investigation remains active and ongoing, and that state law limits what they can release publicly given the involvement of minors. If convicted on the Florida life felony charge, the mandatory minimum is 25 years. He would be in his mid-50s at the earliest possible release. Lifetime S offender registration would follow. And Kendra, she's at an undisclosed location with their children, reportedly represented by separate counsel, facing her own charges that carry a combined maximum of up to 8 years if convicted on all counts, according to Hollywood Reporter reporting. The woman who married into this family at 19 and appeared on Counting On, having her relationship documented for cameras, is now navigating two criminal cases while raising four children away from a home she shared with her husband. She's 27. Run for your life. The Duggar family spent decades selling America a very specific product, a vision of faith-based family life. It was supposed to be proof that their way worked. The television show, the political advocacy, the homeschool conferences, the courtships instead of dating, the modesty standards, the accountability structures, all of it was built on the premise that this system produced better outcomes, safer families, more protected children. Two brothers from that system now face charges involving harm to children. One of them is serving a federal sentence. The other just filed a not guilty plea from a jail cell and flew home the same afternoon on his father's dime. The system that was supposed to prevent this is the system that keeps producing it. And the only people in this family willing to say that clearly on the record by name are the ones who already walked away from it. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in, and we will continue our conversation right there. I'm going to go bathe in Purell after talking about these people for this much time. We'll continue our conversation in the comments. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
In March 2026, Joseph Duggar was arrested. Whoa, it's another name. Yes, it's not Josh anymore. It's Joseph. The one that kind of looks like the Gerber baby as a sad adult. Age 31. Former cast member of 19 Kids and Counting and Counting On. Arrested in Taneytown, Arkansas, which is right by Fayetteville, if you will. I'm trying to figure out where this is. It's not in the sticks. It's in a very highly populated area of the state, Northwest Arkansas. University of Arkansas right here. There's a lot of people. It's like a million plus people in this general vicinity. They're about 7 miles away from our studio. Arrested and charged with crimes against a child under the age of 12. According to an arrest affidavit from the Bay County Sheriff's Office in Panama City, Florida, he's arrested in Arkansas and he's going to be extradited back to Florida. That's the type of charge this is. According to the affidavit, a now 14-year-old girl told investigators that Joseph allegedly, her multiple times during a family vacation to Panama City Beach in 2020 when she was 9. When the girl's father confronted Joseph, he allegedly admitted to the conduct. Because that's kind of how it seems to work with the Duggars. If you admit, you atone for your sins, you admit to them. Well, it all goes away, doesn't it? Because that's worked out so well, Joseph. Police arranged for the father to call Joseph again with the detective on the line. And according to the arrest affidavit, he admitted it again. Joseph Duggar is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. The charges are allegations. The case is active. Those are the legal facts, and they matter. And they will be applied throughout this episode. So will common sense and exposing true evil, in my opinion. Love to get your thoughts in the comments section as we work through this. The links are in the description for Substack and YouTube. Here is what is not alleged. Here is what is documented. And convicted and sentenced and currently incarcerated. Josh Duggar in federal prison. 12 and a half years. Conviction upheld on appeal. We covered that quite a bit here. Two brothers, two sets of charges involving children, one family, one church. This is not a coincidence. This is what a pattern looks like. Let's start with the structure, shall we? Because the structure explains everything and excuses nothing. As we established back in part one, if you're just joining us, this is a part of a five-part series all this week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we've been dropping a new episode about this family in specific order to help tell you the story of the Duggars and the IBLP so you can get a better understanding and fully outraged. So you can share this with everybody who's like, aren't they cute? Oh, they're being persecuted. No, they're not. Anybody who's still behind these people, it's like, wow. Why are you enabling this? As established in part one of our series, IBLP doctrine built specific conditions inside the families it governed. No S education, children who grew up in the system often reached adulthood without the vocabulary to identify, name, or report abuse. The authority structure required silence. Problems are handled inside the family and the church, never with civil authorities, unless absolutely forced. And the theology of submission meant that children who were harmed had no framework for understanding that what happened to them was wrong, no language for it, and really no permission to speak. Former ATI members, adults now looking back, describe becoming adults who didn't understand what had been done to them, who were told their pain was disobedience, who carried damage they couldn't name because they had never been given the words. The system didn't accidentally create conditions where abuse could happen and stay hidden. In practice, the silence was a feature. Now expand the frame beyond the Duggars. Hundreds of thousands of families went through IBLP and ATI, not just in Arkansas, in every state, in every evangelical pocket of this country. Families who never had a television show, whose names nobody knows, whose children grew up inside the exact same architecture. The Recovering Grace website began collecting survivor accounts in 2012. Those accounts described child labor at ATI facilities, psychological manipulation, abuse within families, operating under the same doctrine the Duggars live by on national television. Those survivors did not get a documentary. Most of their cases have no legal avenue remaining. Many of them were raised not to recognize what was done to them as abuse and spent years in adulthood figuring out what normal was supposed to feel like and look like. The Duggars are the famous version of the story. They are not the whole story. And if you have a story to tell, we'd love for you to do it in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description. There is a political dimension because it cannot be separated from the rest of it. IBLP had the public endorsements of sitting governors and senators. Mike Huckabee called the basic seminar some of the best programs available for instilling character. Hobby Lobby's David Green arranged the transfer of a 223-acre compound to the organization. The Duggars appeared at political events, endorsed presidential candidates, spoke at the Values Voter Summit. Jim Bob served in the Arkansas legislature and ran for Senate multiple times and failed. Most recently, while his son awaited federal trial on child CSAM material. The same political movement that used this family as a recruitment poster, as proof that the Christian conservative vision of family life was beautiful and functional and worth fighting for politically, has never meaningfully reckoned with what that poster was covering. When the brand collapsed, the politicians who had stood alongside it moved on. Nobody wanted to discuss what they'd been promoting. Too icky. Let's talk about the women. More than 30 women accused Bill Gothard. Their civil lawsuit was dismissed on statute of limitations grounds. No criminal charges. Gothard denied everything and continues to deny everything. He's 91 years old and sitting in the weight room for hell currently. But he's still online. He thinks he's going to a different place once the gates open, in my opinion. The women who came forward got a public record of their accounts and a legal system that told them, you're too late. Should have said it sooner. Oh, you didn't understand what was going on to you before then? Nah. Better listen to your umbrella. Ella, the five girls Josh Duggar did this to between 2002 and 2003, four of them and his own sisters, one of them, five, never saw a criminal prosecution specifically for those acts because the statute of limitations held
Two of his sisters were asked as young adults to go on Fox News and tell the country that their parents had handled it right. They said it. Raised inside a system that told them their father's judgment was God's will. And they sat across from Megyn Kelly and said it was fine. Under that umbrella, Ella, Jim Bob, Ella. Jill Duggar has spent years in therapy since leaving. She was prepared to testify at Josh's 2021 trial about what her brother did to her. She said that publicly. She was ready. Her testimony wasn't needed for the conviction. She was ready anyway. Following Joseph's arrest, Jill released a public statement condemning the abuse and expressing support for the victim. She did not equivocate. She did not hedge. She said what needed to be said clearly and without qualification, which is not a small thing for a woman who once sat on national television and said her parents handled it all correctly. Coerced into saying it by her parents on television. Say it this way or there's going to be consequences, allegedly. And the girl who was 9 years old when she was allegedly by Joseph Duggar during a family vacation, is 14 now. Her father confronted Joseph. According to the affidavit, Joseph admitted what he allegedly did. The father called again with a detective listening, and according to the affidavit, Joseph admitted it again. Someone finally listening to her. Now here's the full ledger. All of it. On the table at once. Bill Gothard. More than 30 accusers. One civil lawsuit dismissed. Zero criminal charges. Still operating. Denies everything. As he sits in the weight room. To flames. In my opinion. Josh Duggar's 2002 and 2003 victims. Five children. Four of them his sisters. One of them 5 years old, zero criminal charges for those specific acts, statute limitations. Josh Duggar's 2021 conviction, federal court, both counts, 12 years and 7 months. Initial appeal, denied. We talked about that in part four of our series. And now Joseph, arrested in March of 26, charged, has waived extradition and faces transfer to Florida to answer the charges there. Allegedly admitted to the conduct twice per the arrest affidavit. Presumed innocent. Case is still active. Jim Bob acknowledged knowing about Josh's abuse since 2002. Testified under oath at a pretrial evidentiary hearing that he could not remember the details. A federal judge reviewed that testimony and called it not credible in writing on the public record. Ran for state senate anyhow, while his son awaited trial, has faced no legal consequence of any kind. IBLP, the institution that produced all of them, protected all of them, handed them a theology that made accountability structurally impossible, never charged, never held accountable, continues to exist, sort of. Add it up. That's the full accounting. That is what this system built, what it protected, and what, in some cases, it is still protecting. Joseph's case is still active. He has waived extradition and faces transfer to Florida to answer the charges there. There's no verdict because the case is ongoing. Josh is in federal prison. His children are growing up without him. Thank God. That's probably the blessings of the actual God saying, you know what? The best thing for you is for dad to be locked away. Praise the Lord. Gothard is 91, denies everything. Jill Duggar, Dillard is the most visible survivor from inside this family. The one who gave the documentary interviews, wrote the memoir, described the compound as cult-like, required strict boundaries with her parents for her own mental health. She's spoken out in support of the victim. She says she's healing. The system she survived is still intact in thousands of homes that no camera ever entered, under the care of no one. It exists. It's out there. Jill found a therapist and a publisher and a way out. The former members who spoke to documentarians, who posted on Recovering Grace, who wrote the memoirs, they did it at personal cost. They were raised to believe speaking was betrayal. I want to say this because it goes deeper than just raised by. This sort of stuff gets so ingrained into your being that even when you know you're not betraying anybody, you're speaking the truth, you're helping other people, you still feel guilty. That's how powerful this sort of shit is. Many of them have spoken anyway, and the legal system in most cases looked at what they described and said, too late. The Duggars are not the story. They are part of the story that got famous. The part that had a television show and a cancellation and a documentary and a news cycle every few years when another one gets arrested. The actual story is bigger and older and still running. In homes you've never heard of, under a doctrine that hasn't fundamentally changed, inside a system built from the beginning to protect itself from exactly this kind of a reckoning by teaching the people inside it that silence is holiness, that authority is God. And that what happens in the family stays in the family because that's what God requires. One founder, more than 30 accusers, zero criminal charges, two brothers from a family that put his organization on national television, both now facing charges involving children. One system still running, and somewhere underneath all of it, the children nobody made a documentary about who will never be on television, who are still waiting for someone to ask what happened to them. Here's your chance to tell us. And here's our opportunity to expose them even more. Your thoughts in the comment section and your stories. Substack and YouTube is where you can leave them. We're not getting off this story. We're going to be following it. As Joseph faces his charges, as Josh continues to rot away in prison, and all the people in the ecosystem that will continue to get swept up as more evidence comes to light. Because there will be digging by a lot of people, including places like the FBI. And you can damn well guess and bet there's more to come here. We'll continue our conversation in the comments section. I look forward to it. Until next time, my name's Tony Gruski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Gruski and the Hidden Killers Podcast.